And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise said, Not so, lest there not be enough for us and you. But go and sell and buy for yourselves. And when they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in to the marriage, and the door was shut. I want you all to be wise in this season, to stay ready so you don't have to get ready. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Confidence Restored podcast presented by CC America, also known as Confidence Centers of America, and hosted by Tamaria Jordan. This is a show designed to help you build your confidence, increase your faith, and get mentally fit to overcome any trials and tribulations you may encounter. Through personal testimonies of faith, inspiration, and transformation, Tamaria and guests seek to inspire and uplift you. This message is delivered by us, CCing you on lessons learned in hopes of encouraging you regardless of where you are in life. Enjoy the show. So I titled today's episode, Stay Ready. And this is based on a dream that I had over a week ago. And when I woke up, I was somewhat shaken by the dream because it wasn't a dream that I had never had or that I recall ever having. And it made me think about this passage of scripture. So Matthew 25, it talks about the wise and the foolish virgins. And I will go back and read the whole thing just to make sure that we're all on the same page. But I will start with my dream. So when I woke up, I felt foolish. And I say that because I had a dream that I was invited to an award show. And it's interesting because there were celebrities in my dream. And so the celebrities in my dream had invited me to this award show, but I had to be in LA and I had to be ready. So I was in the hotel room. I was ready. I was prepared. But then I had a window of opportunity. So I had a window of opportunity to go back home. I can't remember now why I was going back home, but I had a window of opportunity to go back home. And so I was like, you know what? I have time before the award show. I can probably just hop on a flight and make it back in time because it'll be several hours before they call me. And so me not thinking in my dream, I booked a flight because as we know now, it's easy to do so. You just go online, you book your flight. Well, I booked a flight and I headed back home, and back home meaning out of state. So I flew cross country and the flight was probably 3 hours or less in my dream. And I said, oh, I'll be able to make it back in time. It should be no problem because flights run all day, every day. At least that's what I said. That was the foolishness. And so I make it back home. And then shortly after making it back home, I get a phone call, unexpected. And the celebrity says, oh, are you ready? We're coming to pick you up. I can have someone come and get you. So I hear the celebrity speaking to someone in the background saying, oh, can you go pick Tamaria up? And the person's like, oh yeah, I can go. And I say, well, how long do you think it'll take? Because I need to know now because I need to have time to get back to where I was. So I was in the hotel. I was ready. I was prepared for the award show. But for whatever reason, and I can't remember, I'm pretty sure it was a good reason why I decided to fly back thinking, oh, no problem. I'll just hop on a flight because they won't be ready for me for a while anyway. I can get back the same day. The person says, oh, about 36 minutes. And so I don't know why the number 36, but she said 36 minutes. So I was like, okay. And so I was like, 36 minutes, I'm not going to make it because I won't make it back. And so I literally said to her, oh, well, I won't be able to be ready by then. And so she said, okay, well, I'm sorry, you're going to have to miss it. And then I remember, like, even when I first got the phone call, I remember scrolling online trying to find flights, only to find that there were no other flights back to where I came from. And so the thought process, the pride of life, the arrogance to think, oh, I can just hop on a flight and get back. But the one thing that I failed to think about in this dream is that I was not one of the elites. So they probably have a private jet in which they can just hop on and fly back. But I was flying just a commercial airline, not in first class, none of those things, nor did I have a flight booked back because I didn't know what time they would call. And I woke up and I just felt foolish. And so when I think about the scripture, Matthew 25, I was like, oh, I think that dream was for a reason. Because oftentimes we think that, one, we can get away with stuff because everyone else does. We think that, two, our decisions don't matter, and or we will be able to fix and or rectify it if we aren't ready. But what I felt in my spirit is when you think you have time to go back and maybe engage in something that you used to or fall back into sin, you don't know when Jesus Christ will come in. Meaning when he comes to this earth, we don't know the time nor the hour. The Bible says that no one knows the time nor the hour, not even the angels, not even the Son of Man. And so when I think about that and I look up the word foolish, foolish means of a person or action lacking good sense or judgment. And so when we think about lacking good sense, even though I was in my dream and some people would be like, oh, well, that's pretty far-fetched. Not really when we think about life, meaning we may make decisions in the heat of the moment, thinking like, oh, it's okay, I can do this, but the decision is not wise. So it doesn't mean that we will always have a consequence, but it doesn't mean we should do it. And so there's a scripture that says it might be okay for you to do something, but it may not be wise for you to do it. And I have to find that. It's actually 1 Corinthians 10, verse 23. And it says, this is the New International Version. I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. And so when I think about that in the context of my dream, I had the right to take the flight. I had the right to go back to where I came from for whatever reason. I'm sure, like I said, it was a good one in my mind, but I had the right to do what I chose to do. And it's the same thing with many of us. Just because something is permissible doesn't mean that it's wise or that it's smart or that it's using good judgment. And so I will go back to the beginning of Matthew 25 because I think it's important for us to start there. So starting in verse 1, it says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were wise, five of them were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. So I'm going to pause here when we hear tarried, because sometimes I think we hear that word and some people may know what it means, but they may not have the full definition. So tarried means to be slow in coming or going, to stay in or at a place. And so my dream, when we think about my dream, I was supposed to stay in or at the place. Because it said, while the bridegroom tarried, while the bridegroom was slow in coming. And I saw a lot of people joking after the eclipse. And ironically, episode 120 was called Eclipse, Full Eclipse, Be Ye Also Ready. I find it interesting how many people were like joking about the fact that, oh, we're still here. The world didn't end. And I was like, ooh, that's pretentious and arrogant, because guess what? God can come in a moment's notice without warning. And while we think he's tarrying or going slow, it says they all slumbered and slept. And so a lot of us are sleeping on the job, meaning God has given you a call in your life. He's told you something that you're supposed to do. And sleep is important. The Bible tells us that rest is important, that we enter into God's rest. And that is fine. But there are also the charge for us to move and do. And so when we think about the fact that they slumbered and slept, they were not prepared because they didn't know when he was coming, the bridegroom in this case. So let me look up the formal definition just so we can make sure we're all on the same page of why this is important. Sleep, by definition, means to be in a state of sleep or asleep, a condition of body and mind that typically recurs for several hours every night in which the eyes are closed, the postural muscles relaxed, the activity of the brain altered, and consciousness of the surroundings practically suspended. And so I was like, that's deep when we think about the definition of sleep, because some of us are in a situation now, no matter what time of day it is, where we are asleep, we are not paying attention to what's happening all around us. Our eyes are closed. We are choosing to be blinded to the realities of life. Our muscles are relaxed. The activity of our brain is altered by all of the things, by social media, by games, by TV, by all of the things. So our brain activity is altered, oftentimes by other people and or potentially by our own decisions that we make, whether good or bad. And it says the consciousness of surroundings is practically suspended. Some of us don't even realize where we are. We don't realize that we might be sleeping with the enemy because of the decisions that we make. And so when you look up the definition of slumber, it means to sleep, especially light, doze, or drowse, to be in a state of inactivity, negligence, quiescence, or calm. So sleep is like the heavy sleep. You're deep in it. Slumber, you can lightly doze off or be drowsy, but it's a state of inactivity. So thank you, Lord, for that. I am going to get to that. So going back to verse 5. So it notes before verse 1 through 4 that there were wise virgins who took oil in their lamps, and there were foolish virgins who were unprepared, essentially, because they took no oil with them. They figured, oh, what I have is enough. So while the bridegroom tarried in verse 5, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents. So this is where we talk about some of us being asleep on the job. Unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. So everyone had their own talents. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. So everyone had a different amount, but that was based on their ability. Verse 16, then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1, the person with the least amount of talent, went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. So talent in this case was talking about the money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. So again, here we go, a long time. So again, we don't know when he's coming back to collect, but he gave them talents for them to do something with. And it says in verse 19, after a long time, it sounds like, again, the tarrying, the waiting, they came and reckoned with. It says, and reckoneth with them. And so he that received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. So I doubled my talents. Okay. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Verse 22, he also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not straw. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful, aka lazy servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. And so you will find that oftentimes I will look up the definitions of words because I think it's powerful. So usury is defined as the illegal action or practice of lending money at high rates of interest. So this person says, you are a hard man. So I thought it would be best for me to pretty much bury it and wait for you to come back. So in verse 28, it says, take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. Because this is the person that doubled it, but that had the most. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, they shall he sit upon the throne of glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them from one another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger and ye took me in. Verse 36, naked and ye clothed me. I was sick and ye visited me. I was in prison and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was and hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in not. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. And so when we think about how Jesus was as a teacher, he gave examples, real life examples that people could understand and apply and or think about as it relates to their own life. And so as we think about now, and we think about all the things that are happening in the world, we think about the news and the wars and rumors of wars, the earthquakes, the volcanoes, the rains, the floods, all of these things that are happening. And I thought it was interesting the number of people who thought it was funny to joke about the fact that God didn't come back. And what I will say is, be ye also ready. Because much like Matthew 25, it tells us to be ready because we do not know when the Son of Man will come back. And it starts off in verse 25, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto the 10 virgins. And then it goes through the story. And when we think about us thinking that Jesus is tarrying, that he is slow in coming. It doesn't mean that he can't come in a moment's notice. It doesn't mean that we should not be prepared. So when I think about the fact and now getting more revelation, I will say I'm grateful for the fact that I looked up the definition of the word tarry, because it means to stay in place. Some of us think that we don't have to stay in place. So meaning the temptation comes and we say, oh, you know what? This one time won't hurt. But that last time could be the last time, literally. Meaning in this hour, because we don't know when the Son of Man is returning, we literally could think, oh, you know what? I can do this. Like, it's no big deal, no problem. Like, you know, no issue. And we find that we are not here anymore because we were playing with God. And I wrote a quote, maybe about, it was sometime last year. And I said, don't play in God's face by abusing his grace. Something to that effect. Because a lot of people think it's funny. They think, hey, I can live and be this way, and God is going to forgive me whenever he comes because Jesus died for our sins. He did. But that also doesn't mean that we can't lose our place because of the decisions that we make. And so when I think about Matthew 25, I was like, wow, this is a good reminder. And when I think about my dream, I was in the right place. I had gone there before. I was there. And then I decided to turn back. And we know what happened to Lot's wife when she looked back. She turned into a pillar of salt. But some of us, we may be tempted to go back into a life of sin because of what we see. And so when I think about even the book that I wrote, Sins, Salvation is the New Sexy, that was intentional because when we know about what's happening in the world, we see the videos, we see all the things that pop up on the TikToks, on YouTube, on Facebook, on all these channels. And we see people doing a multitude of things that they appear to be inappropriate and that may appear to be that are. And people are trying to imitate that lifestyle. They want to be like what they see. And so when we think about people trying to imitate celebrities, what I realized in my dream is you don't have that same grace, meaning they may not have that same grace either, but what it looks like, what the enemy wants us to think is, oh, you can get away with it because they got away with it. That's not how God works. So for whoever this is, I want you to be reminded, don't play with and or tempt God. And so there's a chapter in the book, Sins, Salvation is the New Sexy. And I wrote it intentionally. Sins is an acronym for Salvation is the New Sexy. And I did that purposely because the world tells us that temptation is trendy, but guess what? It's temporary. The things that we do and sin is temporary because the devil literally is looking to get us trapped and ensnared so that we can die in our sin. He doesn't want us to live everlasting life, but salvation is the only way that we get free from sin. And then I purposely chose the word sexy because the etymology of the word, when you look up sex-y, it literally stands for of a male or a female. The word sex-y is the of. And so when we think about the original meaning of sex on applications and things like that, it specifically referred to gender. It wasn't until the early 1900s, that the word sexy came to mean something different. And then we know fast forward to now, people use the word sexy in marketing to describe things or businesses to make it sound like, oh, it's so alluring, it's so attractive. So when we think about how the etymology of words change, there's a reason why I purposely looked up the definition of words, because we think we understand based on what we know or what we've been told. But it's not until you look it up when you realize, oh, wait a minute, I gave power to a concept based on a colloquialism that is now widely accepted. But had I been born in the 1600s, the word didn't even exist. And so we give power to words, we give power to people. And God is like, I need you to do what I called you to do. I need you to be ready. I need you to tell people to watch and pray. I need you to be on your guard. I need you to be the best version of you that you can be. And I need you to praise me, because meaning We know that this world is what it is. It's a fallen world. We know the enemy in Revelation 12, it tells us that his time is short and he knows his time is short. So he is seeking to wreak havoc on this earth. And many of us are falling for it. As some may be preparing for their hot girl summer, we have to realize that we don't know at any time when the bridegroom will come. And it may legit be a for real hot girl summer, because if we die in our sin, it tells us that there is everlasting punishment. And we know that hell is hot based on what the Bible says about hell. And I'll be honest, I'm not trying to go. And so we think we can backtrack. We think that we can double back. We think that we can keep on playing in God's face because society tells us that religion is whack. However, when we think about life, there is so much more to life. And God has been dealing with me too. Like in this moment, if you try that, surely something bad will happen to you. And earlier I mentioned the fact that even in my book, there's a chapter called The Turning Point. And it was based on, even though some of like the story that I use is based on a fictional character at a high level, and I purposely chose a young person because look at all the young people that are dying now, dying early, dying prematurely, which is what the devil wants. He is waging war against our youth because think about it. If he can snuff us out early, we won't be able to minister to the people we're supposed to reach. We are not able to use our talent because the devil's trying to bury us. And so this scripture, Matthew 25, it talks about so many things because I'm like, wow, I didn't even put all of that together when I initially woke up from my dream, but I'm so grateful for God's grace and for his mercy. And also for the clarity and the revelation that I got in just reading Matthew 25, because the future will require faith. And I had a turning point. So again, I chose a fictional character. She was young on purpose because we think we have all this time, because when we were growing up, we saw people who were elderly have an opportunity to repent from their sins and change their life and change their way. They may have been like doing it up in their heyday, but now they've changed, they've repented, they've turned their life over to Christ. We think we will have the same amount of time, and that's not so. And so that's why I purposely chose the character's age, but the message is universal for people of any age. I primarily wrote it for women based on the things that are pushed on women in society about image and self-esteem. But everything in that book is intentional in terms of the character being young and converting to Christianity young, the life lessons, the scriptures, everything again, I say is intentional because in this day and in this hour, we need to be wise. We don't need to be like the foolish versions, the ones who were unprepared or thought, you know what, I could do this day and it's going to be okay. Because in the chapter Turning Point, I talk about the fact that the character in the book had to turn her life around. And for me personally, I remember there was something I was tempted to do. And I felt in my spirit, if you do this, you will surely die. And I was like, whoo, that's kind of harsh. Like, for real? Like, I will die? Or does it mean like physical? Does it mean spiritual? Guess what I wasn't trying to do? I wasn't trying to find out. So I was not trying to play around and find out if it meant I was going to die literally or spiritually. But I was like, I'm not testing God. I am not passing go. I'm not collecting $200. I'm taking my butt home. And that's exactly what I did. And as I was driving home, I heard a message. And in that message, a scripture that I had read, the scripture about the old prophet and the young prophet, God had told the young prophet to go home on his way back. But the young prophet decided to listen to the old prophet. And he ended up stopping at the old prophet's house because the old prophet pretty much said, surely you won't die. And this is in 1 Kings 13, verses 11 through 25. He's like, oh, it's okay. Come in, eat, drink, pretty much be merry. Let's have a good time. But God told him no before he went. But the person said to him, oh, I am a prophet also. In verse 18, he said unto the young prophet, I am a prophet also, as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. So he went back with him, meaning the young prophet, and did eat bread in his house and drank water. In verse 20, and it came to pass as they sat at the table that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back, meaning the older prophet. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee. So God commanded the young prophet to do what he said to do. Now the old prophet, because the Holy Spirit came upon him, the Spirit of God was like, you are in error. You lied to this young man. Verse 22, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of the which the Lord did say to thee, eat no bread, drink no water. Thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulcher of thy fathers. So the sepulcher is like the tomb. In verse 23, and it came to pass after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk, that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him, and his carcass was sent in the way, and the ass stood by it. The lion also stood by the carcass. Verse 25, and behold, men passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way, and the lion standing by the carcass, and they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. So the old prophet lied to the young prophet. And this is why we have to be careful who we listen to in this hour. Some people will be telling you, oh, the Lord said, if you know in your heart, because God will give you the spirit, you talk to God. The Bible says everyone who knocks, like God will, and not saying that we can keep sinning and do what we want to do, but those who are genuinely repentant and they are sorry for the things that they are doing and they want to get closer to God, they can get closer to God. God can give you a spirit and teach you things in the way in which he wants you to go. But many of us have idolized people. And I always say, don't idolize me. It's God, you see. And those people who are in the pulpit or in positions of power that we have idolized, now we're seeing God's judgment occurring in the church first, because the Bible says that's where the judgment will occur first. It already told us that the judgment is going to start at my house for the people who claim they love the Lord. And guys, like, if you claim you love the Lord, you better really mean it, because God is not playing with us. And so I think my dream was a reminder to me, like, don't play with, in the word, you know, people say, don't play with it. Literally, don't play with God. Don't play with it, your salvation, because there's too much at stake. There's too much at stake. So I want you all to be wise in this season, to stay ready so you don't have to get ready. Don't be like I was in my dream, where I went back to the place that was familiar because of whatever reason. I don't know if it's because somebody called me, probably was. Someone told me to come back, but I didn't listen and I didn't stay put. And the celebrity piece, I'm less concerned about that. But actually, I think that the reason God wanted me to see that it was a celebrity is because we idolize people. And God may give us an instruction similar to the old prophet and the young prophet. God will give us instruction himself, but we will go against the grain. We will go against our better judgment and wisdom and do what we want to do, not what we know to do or what has been in our spirit. So I say, trust that small, still voice, because that's the one we need to listen to in this hour, because literally we do not know what will happen at any given time, at any given day. And so God, literally, he has patience for us. He wants us to come to him. He's calling the Jews and the Gentiles. He does not want us to die in our wickedness, but we cannot keep playing with God. Because in Romans 9, it says in verse 15, for he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. And we think because celebrities get away with it, we can get away with it too. I thought I could just hop on a flight and I could make it back. But in my dream, I was left behind. Why? They went in. They watched the award show. I wasn't there. I missed my opportunity. I missed my window of opportunity because I was not prepared. And so I thank God for the many revelations that I just got by doing what I felt led to do. But I hope that this message blesses you too. And so for anyone that is like, you know, how must I be saved? I encourage you to just ask God to come into your heart. And in Romans, it talks about how we may be saved. But literally, you can say something as simple as, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I repent of my sins and make you Lord over my life. So I repent. I am humbling myself and asking you for forgiveness for the things that I've done wrong, that I know I've done wrong, that I think other people don't know, but God knows. He sees everything. So I'm quick to say, you know what? Satan, you're not going to go to God on me, because I'm going to tell God myself. I don't need you to go to God on my behalf, telling God what I did, because God already knows what I did. So I'm going to tell him myself, because I don't want to be at a point of no return where I can't come back because I decided to make a decision that I can't come back from. And so in Revelation 12, it tells us, now have come the salvation and the power of the kingdom of God and the authority of the Messiah, for the accuser of our brothers and sisters who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. And it says, therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows his time is short. So we have to ask God to first come into our heart. We repent of our sins and ask him to be Lord, to be ruler over our life, not social media, not celebrities, God. Let God and the Lord be ruler over our life. Take complete control of this life that we have and help us to walk in righteousness every day. Because the Bible tells us if we really seek out God, he is, if our heavenly fathers know how to give good gifts, why do we think that God would not? He's not going to give us a stone if we ask for bread. And the Bible tells us that. And so I think we just have to be mindful of the fact that God knows who we are. God knows what we've done. God knows what we can do. It's up to us to come through. We have decisions that we have to make. And I also encourage you to read Matthew 7. Matthew 7 talks about judging others. So it tells us to focus on our own salvation, like recognize the issues we have, because we all have many, I'm sure. Focus on, worry about yourself. In the words of the video that was trending some years back, it talks about asking, seeking, and knocking. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek, you will find. Knock and the door will be open. For everyone who asks receives, but the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be open. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. But then it keeps going in chapter 7, verse 13. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. Many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. So not only do you have to knock, but it also says that we have to seek and you will find. And part of seeking and finding is reading the word and building up your faith. But Matthew 7 also talks about true and false prophets. It says, by your fruit, you will recognize them. Pay attention to the fruit people are yielding. If they are telling you, I'm a believer, they're telling you, oh, I trust God. God is the ruler over my life. But then they're mocking God, or they're playing games. They're like doing it for the gram and doing a whole lot of other stuff for the gram. Then you know, like, hold up, the fruit's not matching. Something's not right. And I love how Prophetess Tiffany Montgomery says it. She was like, people under my ministry covered by God, they are fruit inspectors, and we better be. And these times, because listen, there's a lot of foolery going on, and we don't want to be found foolish when the bridegroom returns, when Christ comes back for his church. it talks about in Matthew 7, true and false disciples. And this is where it says, and the piece I wanted to talk about earlier that I forgot to mention is, it says in verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. And verse 24, I'll read through the end of chapter 7 to close us out. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, it doesn't mean you just hear it. You just go sit up in church on Sunday, read your Bible, go home, and that's it. No, no. It says, reads them and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had a foundation on the rock. The rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. Sand cannot stand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teachings because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. And so the reason the rock is important is because the Bible tells us that Jesus is the rock of offense, because it says, I set before you a stumbling stone. Jesus's ministry was offensive to the religious leaders who so-called were waiting on the Savior. But then when the Savior came, they prosecuted him. So he laid a stumbling stone. The stumbling stone is Jesus, meaning people don't want to receive Jesus. They want to still do what they want to do, live how they want to live, but then claim they love the Lord. And God is like, time out for that. Like, y'all playing in my face at this point. So again, don't play in God's face by abusing God's grace, because he literally was there and individuals did not want to receive him. But it tells us in Mark 6, whosoever shall not receive you nor hear you, when ye depart, then shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And so the disciples kept going out and they went out and preached that men should repent. And so this message was not just for then. This message is for now. We have to repent and really mean it, because God is not playing. We don't know when he is coming. But what I will say is, we better get ready and stay ready. And how we do that is we read our word. God says that we use our talent. God also commanded us to seek and save those who are lost. Like, are we using the gifts that he gave us to bring people into the kingdom? Are we clothing the naked? Are we feeding the hungry? Are we doing all those things? Because in the end, he's going to ask us for an account of what we did. He's going to tell us to, like, what did you do? He's not going to be worried about what your neighbor did, what they told you to do. Like, I told you, like he told the young prophet. The message was for the young prophet. He didn't tell the old prophet what the young prophet should do. He told the young prophet directly. The young prophet was deceived because the old prophet lied for whatever reason. He could have been jealous, like, oh, surely God's not talking to this young prophet. Let me go ahead and tell him I heard from an angel of the Lord, when the young prophet knew he heard from the Lord. So somebody telling you, oh, I heard from the Lord about what you should do, and God has already given you a commission, be leery of that. Be leery of the wolves in sheep clothing in this time, because many will come and say that God sent them, but you will know them by their fruit. So Father God, I just thank you for this time today. I thank you for your grace, for your mercy, for your wisdom, for your insight, and the fact that you are allowing us to know what is to come, that you are allowing us to dream dreams, that you are helping us to see what is happening and giving us wisdom for such a time as this. Because in Luke 21, you told us that all of these things will come, but you said to watch and pray that we may be able to escape all these things. It does not mean, like in Revelation 12, that we will love our life not into death, but that we will be repentant of the things that we've done here on this earth and really draw closer to you in this hour. Lord God, we repent for our sins. I ask that you lift everyone up that's listening to this episode, that will listen to this episode, that you would bless them, that you would allow them to come in and seek you first, because you said, if we seek, we will find. First, we have to knock. We have to be interested, but then we have to seek and we will find you. So we thank you, God, that you have an open door, a small window for us now, but we pray that you would allow us to prepare in the right way so that when you do come back for your church, that we will be ready. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for our family. We thank you for our friends. We thank you for the strangers that we meet. We thank you for the body of Christ. And we pray that you would allow us to minister to those that we need to minister to, that we would go out, that we would call people to repentance, that we would tell the truth, that we would use our talent and do what we can for you, and trust that you have us in every way and every day. We know that the future will require faith, and we thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. Amen. So on that note, I will say, keep on keeping on and be blessed. Thank you for tuning in to another live taping of the Confidence Restored podcast by CC America. We are grateful that you tune in week after week and join us for testimonies of faith, inspiration, and transformation. Please be sure to rate, comment, and subscribe, and let others know that you are listening to the Confidence Restored podcast. You can also now buy us a coffee to show appreciation at buymeacoffee.com/CC America. Until next time, be blessed.